Hi, this is Jason DeMont from LifeAfterCubes.com, following his interview with Anil Palat, also known as the Fox Nomad. Enjoy the interview. Kind of the first thing I was hoping you could tell me was just maybe a brief background, kind of where you're from, what you studied in school, work history, things like that.
Sure. I was born in the U.S., but I lived in Turkey and Washington, D.C., both. About 50-50 up until I was 18. So I've kind of lived in both places. And then I studied anthropology in school, and I got my degree in that. And then
did you go to school? Did you go to school in the U.S. or abroad?
Yes. Yeah, I went to George Mason University, actually.
Okay, very cool.
And I got a degree in anthropology and in computer science. I got 2 degrees. And I later became a hacker, a professional hacker for about 6 years.
Wow.
I worked at a small consulting firm, and basically my job was really to anything from doing penetration testing, looking at code. I was even sent a lot of places to see if I could, I don't know, get inside a building by making up a story, or it was a fun job. I was a professional hacker is probably the best way to describe it.
Wow, that's a pretty interesting job. Wow.
Yeah, so it was a lot of fun. Actually, it gave me a lot of quite an opportunity to travel, because they sent me around a lot of places, and then I loved the job, but. The blogging started taking off, and I wanted to give myself to it and see what would happen, and I have since left that job, and now all I do is run my websites, really. And but I do take on programming and security projects from time to time to make sure that I don't get rusty or lose my edge or anything like that.
Oh, very good. If you don't, when did you leave your hacker security job?
Yeah, that was about 5 months ago.
Oh, wow, just 5 months ago.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks.
that's really exciting. And, okay, so 5 months ago. Very cool. So then what are the various ways that you earn a living now? I think you kind of touched on it a little bit, but.
Yeah, right now the primary way is through my blog, so. Selling advertising and affiliate programs, basically. So I have more than Fox Nomad. I have more sites than that. Mm-hmm. Makes it a lot easier to actually make money doing that. But I also do take on some consulting projects, like I said. So,
yeah.
But most of it is through the blog. Most of it's through writing and advertising.
And how many blogs do you have?
I have 4 blogs. I have Fox Nomad, Tech Guide for Travel, Travel Blog Advice, How to Travel with Pets, and I have a few AdSense sites out there. Mm-hmm. But
just
so
niche marketing type sites.
Yeah, niche marketing sites.
Hmm. Interesting. And so, were you doing the blogs in parallel with your previous job?
Yes, yeah, actually, I've been writing on Fox Nomad for about 4 years.
Oh, wow, I didn't realize it was that long.
Yeah, it wasn't originally, it wasn't originally meant to be a travel blog, actually. Sort of changed over in the first year.
Mm-hmm.
It was really a way for my friends and I to sort of keep in touch, but the only person that ever wrote on it was me. So I was like, well, maybe I should start writing, and I liked it. And then I really got into it, and I stuck with it, and here I am, I guess you could say. But yeah, it's been about 4 years, so it didn't happen overnight.
No, definitely not. That's a great story. Just working hard and able to really pursue it now. Very cool. How have the last 5 months been going?
Pretty good. It's a lot easier when you have one thing to focus on, I guess. It's
mm-hmm.
It's always tough to manage like a day job and side stuff. It's very time consuming, and it's just difficult. I don't know it's not easy to give yourself 100% to both places in terms of time and passion. And so, but the last 5 months have been going very well. It's a different beast, I guess you could say. I enjoy it. Yeah. I don't regret the move at all. I'll say.
I could imagine not. In terms of kind of revenue income, what percentage would you say is like consulting versus your blogs? Just out of curiosity.
Right now, it's about almost all of it is from the blogs. I'd say income wise, about 20% from the consulting. I take on small projects. Mm-hmm. Like I said, just because I still enjoy working, you know, doing hacking stuff and programming stuff. So, and I don't make that much. I don't pursue it for the money. So there's not much money in it for me. But I feel like if I leave it for a year or two, then it's going to be way out of the loop.
Right.
So it breaks down to about, I mean, right now, all of my money is really coming from the blogs, and maybe, I mean, it's such a small percentage from consulting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And how do you find your consulting your customers? Is it through your previous job or Elance or something like that?
I use both, so I have a lot of contacts from my previous job. Mm-hmm. I'm still in touch with. That's in security. That's probably one of the best ways to get work. It's hard to build, or it takes time to build the kind of a trust relationship when you're working in the kind of in that field. So a lot of it's from my previous contacts, but I have used Elance before as well.
Mm-hmm. So, any other websites besides Elance?
No.
Okay. Great. Cool. So, you know, one thing that I've been impressed with you is just how many different sites and things you have, and I mean, four blogs is an awful lot. I am really impressed by that. How do you, I jokingly said, how are you involved in so much and still married and managed to travel as well?
Well, there's no easy way around it. It does take a lot of time. But the one thing I've found, and I'm terrible at planning, but the one thing that's helped me is coming up with a good schedule. Mm-hmm. It sounds pretty lame, but I think a lot of people know what they're going to do, or they have a vague idea of what they want to be doing in 6 months or something. And I kind of have no clue what I'm doing in 6 months, but the next 48 hours and the next 2 weeks, I know pretty well what I'm going to be doing. Like I schedule it out so that I know, all right, from 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock, I'll be doing this, and then, I'll work on this for a little while. And that way I feel like I accomplished something at the end of every day. And with the blogs, one thing that I just can't live without is scheduling out my posts in advance. Mm-hmm. Just for Fox Nomad, for example, I know what I'm going to be writing for the next 2 weeks. I haven't written them yet, but it helps when you have a topic well in advance. And another thing with the blogging is I have a list of about 200 topics. So if I'm not really feeling like writing one day, I'll go through that list and see if I can find something that clicks for me that day, and usually there is. And so, but a schedule is key. If you don't have a schedule and you try to do this, I think you're going to be all over the place, and it's just going to be frustrating.
Sure.
And if you're married, it's easier to give your schedule to somebody else, to your wife, and she can see it, and then she has a better idea of how long you're going to be on the computer. So.
Sure. Just a couple extra questions there. How detailed do you schedule yourself? Are we talking like hours or just kind of a rough plan for the day? I'm just curious.
So when I wake up in the morning, I do two things. So at the end of each day, for the next 24 hours, work-wise, I have a good plan. It's by the hour. It's usually like 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock. I have an idea of what I want to finish. Let's say write one post, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And I, in between stuff, I always leave half an hour. So between 11:30 and 11 and 11:30, I won't have anything scheduled. It's kind of gray area because I tend to go over schedule a lot or get done early. And so for 24 hours, it's very detailed. When I'm done for the day, I have in my mind what I'm going to do the next day. So I look at what I've accomplished, how long it's taken me, and then what needs to get done next. So about 24 hours, I have a very good idea. Anything beyond a week, it's pretty foggy.
Very interesting. And is there any software or anything that you use to kind of assist you with the scheduling?
No, I just write it down. I do have an Excel sheet that I use, and I track how long it takes me to do stuff. So I have a pretty good idea of how long it takes me to write like a post, or you know, read 50 blogs on RS, or you know, stuff like that. But it doesn't take much. It's like 5 or 10 minutes of my day. Schedule it out, and I think if you track yourself for a month, you have a pretty good idea of how long everything takes, and then it's pretty easy.
Yeah, that's interesting. I schedule myself very differently, but it's interesting not only how you're scheduling it, but then you're also looking at how you're sticking to that schedule and tracking it as well. That's really interesting.
I tend to be late when it comes to my personal life. I'm always late going places, and I find that when I schedule myself, I'm always running late. I'm always going over schedule, so I need to. It helps. So you go, okay, all right. It takes me 2 hours to do this. No go schedule, you know.
Yeah, and I guess just by seeing it so many times, then you start planning appropriately.
Yeah.
That's interesting. One of the things a lot of people say is how horrible people are at estimating things, and time is one of the key ones. So, I mean, that's a good way to really improve that on that.
Yeah, when I worked as a consultant, one thing I learned was people would ask how long something takes, and you always give them an engineer's estimate, which is basically double the amount of time it's going to really take. Mm-hmm. And people would really just kind of their face, you know, you hear them on the phone and you just hear the face drop, but so many things can happen and so many things can go wrong, and you know, and you almost always need extra time. So people are really bad at estimating stuff, but as a consultant, I guess I was just forced to give good estimates on how long stuff would take and track it.
Was this a system taught by your consulting company, or just something you kind of picked up yourself as you went along?
No, at the consulting firm, we were all pretty independent as far as work goes. We were pretty almost always doing our own thing in a way. It was a very, very, very relaxed and kind of hands-off environment. We were really free to pursue projects and work directly with clients. We learned, you know, I learned very early on that you've just got to estimate things well. I mean, if that's the thing that people want to know most is how much is it going to cost and how long will it take? So, yep. And you've got to do that with yourself too, because when you work for yourself, then it's just as important. Mm.
Mm. Yeah, that's fantastic advice. Great. Let me see here. Oh, I was going to ask also, are there any sort of books or blogs that you read on productivity that you would recommend?
I started reading ProBlogger a long time ago, like everybody else, I think. And I've always found that site to be useful. I've heard people have different opinions on it, but I've always found some of the basics, you know, to be pretty useful, you know. So I really like that site. As far as blogging and in general, I really like a website called Briefcase. Let me find it. I have it written down somewhere.
No worries.
It's an ebook I read. Business in a Backpack.
Business in a Backpack.
Really like. Yeah, it's like. I think it's like $20 or something, but it's a pretty good read. And it sort of outlines, you know, what this couple did to basically live off of their blogs and create a blog and everything. I found that a very good read. That breaks down pretty well. But I track about 400 to 500 blogs, travel blogs mostly. So I try to read those every few days and keep up on what's going on in the sort of the blogging, travel blogging community, I guess you could say.
Yeah, well, that's, I think you've got a beat on quite a bit with 400 to 500. That's incredible. I would assume that's a time slot in your day as well.
It's a big time slot. If I don't touch my RSS reader a little bit every day, it gets out of control, and then I can easily spend a day just reading blogs, you know. Mm-hmm. It's something that I try to touch on a little bit every day. It's, you know, an hour or two every day, and try and keep it manageable, I guess. Wow. But it's getting harder. There are a lot more blogs. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but there seem to be more and more blogs every day, and I'm having trouble. I've sort of limited myself to about 500. I don't think I can read too much more.
I thought my Google Reader was getting a little out of hand, but it's nothing like yours. Wow, that's pretty incredible. And yeah, I would agree. It seems the more blogs you read, the more blogs other people recommend that you like, so you figure the other ones are probably good as well.
Yep.
In fact, I read Copyblogger, and I've heard a lot about ProBlogger, but I never really got into it, so now I'll probably have to check that one out as well.
Yeah, I think he posts a lot. Like before, he would mostly, it was the guy Darren was writing most of the stuff. Mm-hmm. Now there are a lot of guest posts. I don't find those as useful. I kind of like his older posts, but they're pretty solid, I think.
Great. So tell me a little bit about your travel style. I know some people seem to kind of move around constantly. Some others kind of stay put for different places. How are you planning on traveling around?
I sort of keep myself put in one place and then travel around the area. I did this when I was consulting as well, and I sort of stuck to it. It makes things a lot cheaper, and more importantly, it's easier to get work done. I think. Like right now, I've sort of been based out of Germany for the last 3 months, and I'll be, and I've been, you know, moving around Europe. I'll be leaving for South America in about 3 weeks, and I'll be in the Americas. Yeah, and I have a friend in Ecuador, so I figure I'll stop by there and a few other places, and so I'll be in the Americas until about July, and then I'll. Then we're going to settle down in North Cyprus for a year and travel around the Middle East based out of that one place. So it's a lot easier, I think, and cheaper to have one place and then travel around an area and then get up and move again.
Yeah, that's great. So when you move to South America, will you base yourself out of Ecuador?
No, actually, I'm going to stop by Ecuador for a few weeks and then go hopefully to Costa Rica or Panama for another week or two. And then I'll be based mostly out of D.C.
Okay.
Yeah, my sister's graduating from school, and then there's the travel blog exchange. So I figure I'll hang around the East Coast for a little while.
Yeah. Do you have a home in D.C.?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. I don't want to take up too much more of your time. So I think my kind of last question then is, what's coming next? I you seem to always have something planned. I'd be interested to know if there's anything of note that you'd like to discuss.
Sure. I've kind of been juggling the idea of writing two ebooks this summer. Don't know if I'm going to give away the topics yet, but they're going to be a lot broader than my previous ebook, and they're going to go together. And then at the end of the year, I'm planning on writing a book about. I'm planning on visiting 7 or 8 countries in the world, which probably a lot of people don't visit. I think Afghanistan, Iran, Iraq, all the kind of places that you're recommended not to go. And I'm going to be writing about that.
Wow.
And that's coming towards the end of the year.
That's
so those are my next projects. Yeah,
that sounds incredible. And you're right, those are definitely not places that you see too often on people's travel blogs.
Yeah, I figured it might be interesting to write a book about some of the places that you're not supposed to go, I guess. Or
Yeah.
you probably shouldn't go, actually.
Yeah,
You probably
no.
shouldn't go to Afghanistan right now. It's probably not the ideal place to travel.
I'm curious, how long do you plan on spending there?
I don't know. I haven't mapped out the exact route or how long I'll stay in each place. I think also visa-wise and getting to those places is going to be kind of difficult. So I don't know. For me, when I travel, the important thing is being able to get online. I know that in a lot of those places, that's not going to be feasible for a long time. But if there's for me personally, if there's a week where I can't get on the internet, that's a problem. So I might not stay that long. I don't know. I really don't know the how long, actually.
Wow. Well, that even if it's only for a week, I'm sure that'll be some amazing experience.
Yeah, it should be different.
And your wife is on board with this and going with you?
I don't know if she'll go with me. She wants to go with me. I think she's pretty on board with it. So we're gonna see how if we can do the entire route together.
Your parents
I
know
think
your
she's I think
parents
she's
know as
accepted my craziness in a lot of ways.
well? Yeah, it sounds like it. Sorry, just one more quick question. I was curious, how has your ebook done, compared to your blogs and your consulting? Has that become a significant portion of your revenue and income?
Well, it sort of was. I mean, it kind of spiked a little bit when it was actually a few months after I released it. It was a great learning lesson because I definitely screwed up the promotion of the ebook. I learned a lot about promoting a sorry, is it a dog outside?
No
I
problem.
learned a lot about promoting a product, which I wasn't prepared to do. At the time, and now I kind of people are writing reviews after the fact, and then sales will pick up, and then they'll drop off, so I'm sorry, this is kind of a side, but if you're writing an ebook, you should definitely promote it way before you actually publish or release the ebook. So it was doing pretty well. Now it's kind of tapered off. So I'll get us a couple sales here and there, but I think it's. I don't know. I think that's the world of ebooks. They come out and then sort of trickle off.
Yeah, that's kind of what I've heard from various places, is how they spike at one point, and if it's going to be a big part of kind of your income or revenue, you've got to almost write one every 3 to 6 months, it sounds like.
Yeah, I think you have to write them. Yeah, exactly. About 3, 6 months. And I've found that ebooks that answer a specific question, I mean, this is not from my personal experience, but tend to do better. I don't, people don't read ebooks like, in my opinion, people don't read ebooks like they read regular books. They read them to answer some sort of question or, I don't know. I think my next ebook is going to be about a very specific, very, very specific topic. So maybe that'll do better. I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, I'm sure experimentation will find itself out. Was the ebook your ebook was that your first one?
Yes. Yeah.
That's good. I mean, it sounds like you had a pretty good success for your first one, so.
Yeah. It was pretty decent sales at first. It was just nice that for me, it's nice that anybody is willing to spend, any money on something that I wrote. I think it's just like it's kind of like an honor, I mean, somebody's giving money to read what you wrote, It's pretty cool.
That is a good point. That would be an interesting feeling. Very good. Anil, thank you very much for your time. Thanks for listening. If you have any feedback on the interview, recommendations on future questions, or any other feedback, let me know. Thanks.